Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're beginning a new series of sermons under the theme of called to be. So today, called to be in Christ. Next week, called to be salt and light. The following week, called to be co-workers. And then finally, called to be listeners of Christ. So today's focus is called to be in Christ, and it's based on the reading that we've heard earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to yourself, calling us to serve you also. Pray your blessing over us this day as we hear your word, as we meditate on what it means to be called to be in Christ, in your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. I remember quite clearly one class at seminary in which our lecturer was talking to us about our sense of call to the ministry. Our sense of call to the ministry. And he said something along these lines to us. What really surprises me is that God would choose you lot to be pastors in his church. I mean, think about it, he said. You're really a pretty ordinary bunch. We're thinking, okay, where's this going? Don't get me wrong, he went on. You're a pretty special class, but you're still really very ordinary. I mean, if God really wanted to make an impression on his church and beyond, why wouldn't he choose the smartest people at his disposal, the wealthiest people at his disposal, the most influential people at his disposal, the best-looking people at his disposal? We're thinking, okay, we get the picture, right? We're not that special. The point he was trying to make, and he obviously made it pretty well because I remember it, was that having a call or a sense of call to the ministry was no grounds for boasting. No reward for the best and brightest, no right or even something that we earn, but a gift of God's grace that's to be received in all humility and faithfulness. Now today, Paul describes the call of all Christians, the call to faith, in very similar terms. He writes this, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Consider your call. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." First and foremost, Paul was reminding the Corinthians of something very important because the Corinthians had this tendency to be very impressed with great rhetoric, great speakers, or to be very impressed with really charismatic leaders, or to be very impressed with great signs and wonders. So that's kind of the context Paul's writing into. And the first thing he wants them to know is that not only is that not always the way God works, but it's often not the way God works. And ordinarily, God works through the far more ordinary. Through people like them, people like us. This is how God chooses to bring his message to the world. In fact, God delights in taking that which the world thinks is unimpressive, even lowly or even nothing, and making it into something by his grace alone. Now, today we have the installation of our school staff, and I would never be so bold to say to them what my lecturer said to me. You're welcome to read between the lines if you'd like to. You guys, too, have a calling in Christ. And first and foremost, it's a call to faith in Christ. But secondly, it's a call to serve Christ with the gifts he's given you as you communicate that message of the cross to the children in your care. Now, did God choose you for that role because of your intelligence? Partly, perhaps, I hope. Did he choose you for that role because of your influence or your charismatic leadership? Maybe one or two of you, right? Did he choose you for that role because of your great wealth? I doubt it. Did he choose you for that role because of your good looks? No comment, right? And yet God chose you. God wanted you and no one else. He hasn't put anyone else in the place he's put you to serve him here at St. Mark's as staff members of this school, servants of Christ, for the sake of those young people who come here every day to learn and to learn about him. Now, that's a very special role that you're in. It's a very special role he's called you to, and it calls you to the consideration of that call and the consideration of what it means to have faith in him, which is simply the humble reception of his gifts, and secondly, what it means to be part of his faithful service, that is the humble use of those gifts he's given you. That happens in our families, it happens in our churches, it happens in our communities, but it also happens in our schools, where we're called to use what he has given us for the sake of others. Now, the call, first and foremost, is literally the call to be in Christ. That's what the text says. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We all have different desires that we want for ourselves. You know, we might want to be really intelligent. God says he wants us to be wise in Christ. We might want to be really influential. God says he wants us to be righteous in Christ. We might want to be particularly attractive. God says, I want your life to attract people to Christ. We might want to be influential, wealthy. God says, I want you to be holy in Christ. You see how the things we put a lot of time and effort and energy into thinking about and pursuing in life may not be the things that God seeks for us and would have us put our energy and effort into. Sometimes those are two different things. And so the call to faith and the call to baptism and the call to live out that faith and baptism in the world is a call to be ready to be surprised by God every day. The call to faith and the call to baptism is a call to have our deepest desires challenged by God every day. The call to faith and the call to baptism is also a call to be sent out blessed by God and more blessed than we ever realized, according to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 that we heard. Those states we find ourselves in where we feel ourselves least blessed, God says, by faith in me, I can turn those things into blessing for you. So consider your call. Consider the Christ at the center of that call. And finally, consider his cross. We're going to finish where Paul begins. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And later on, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. You know, the call to faith is a call to gaze upon the man on the cross. It's a call to turn our eyes away from ourselves and all our wonderful attributes or lack thereof and to look instead to him. To look to him and to look to the cross and to see there God turning the wisdom of the world upside down. And God doing something remarkable. This is the image that's to be in our eyes. It's the message that's to be on our lips. And you know, no matter how you dress it up, no matter how you try to dress up the message of the cross or carefully explain it or tactfully argue for it, it was and is and remains an offensive message in some ways. It always has been and it always will be. Because to die on a cross for the Jews was a shameful thing. You know, they thought anyone who died on a cross was cursed by God. And for the Romans, it was seen as completely below them. Never would a Roman citizen be put to death like this. There's a quote from a first century Roman orator who says this, "May the very name of the cross be absent, not only from the body of Roman citizens, but also from their thinking, from their eyes, and from their ears." That's what happened outside the walls of the cities. It was a shameful thing. Why? Well, you know why. It's cruel. It's public. The Jews considered it a curse. The Romans considered it below them. And still, the cross, in some ways, is an offense to us when we look at it and when we really think about it. And yet, for Christians, what do we do with it? We put it front and center, front of our churches, front of our logos, we hang it around our necks, We carry it with us wherever we go. We set it up on our altars. We talk about it. We think about it. We describe its meaning to our kids. Why do we do this? Why is it so important to us? One commentator, Vic Fitzner, who some of you would know, Pastor Vic Fitzner, he calls it the touchstone of world history. The cross is the touchstone of world history. That's what it is to us. It's the moment and the method by which God drew us back to himself. And therefore, it doesn't matter what the world sees when they look at the cross, because what we see is our redemption and our holiness and our hope. And we're called to look at it, and we're called to think about it, and we're called to talk about it. And so we must. And so we're blessed as we do. The cross for us is both the low point and the high point of human history. And so we keep it before our eyes, and we keep it on our hearts and in our minds and on our lips, this message of the cross. Because we see in the cross God turning the wisdom of the world upside down. He takes the worst thing, or one of the worst things human beings have ever done and could ever dream up, and uses it for their greatest blessing. So think about what he can do for you in your life with your greatest hardships and difficulties, and how he can reverse their flow through the cross and turn them into blessing for you as well. There's an old hymn that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." I love those words, and I think about them often. May God bless you through the message of the cross with faith and with the opportunity to serve him faithfully and live with him faithfully, ultimately that you would be in and remain in Christ Jesus now and always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of the cross, which is in some ways an offensive message and a difficult one to hear and to proclaim. But Lord, we see in the gift of the cross, you turning the wisdom of the world upside down, and you using this symbol of shame for great blessing. Lord, may it bless our lives, and may we use it to bless the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.